And a good Monday afternoon to you all. 4:09 the time. I'm Haley Tenfass. You are listening to Focus Fox Valley, and it's time for us to get our lean on a very chilly Monday afternoon. Coach Tony is here as always. How you doing, Coach Tony?
I am doing great. Feeling great. Everything's good.
Yeah. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, it was great. We're really not going to get into the whole sports thing, are we? Because I just want to, like, let that all go.
You want to just let it be behind you.
Dive into this great subject that we got today.
I have to say, though, I mean, it was a loss for the Packers last night, but I didn't think they played too bad. I was actually, disappointed, but not as disappointed as I could have been, I think.
You know, they actually played very well in the beginning. A couple of bad decisions that really took the momentum away from them. And that's all it was. And that's where we'll leave it.
And we won't get into it any further. We'll let people talk about it on In the Huddle tonight,
absolutely,
which is right after Focus Fox.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we have a great topic tonight. A listener wrote you, and I love that people are coming to you with questions, Tony.
Yeah, I do too. And you know, the question that she had, I think her name is Kathleen.
Yes, Kathleen.
Was long and very detailed, and it deserves a whole show because it's going to hit a very broad spectrum of people, and there's a lot of great information that goes along with it. And I'll make my disclosures before we get into the show, okay?
Now, Tony, maybe you do want to throw your email address out there. People want to, if they are listening and going, hey, I think I got a question Tony should ask, if they want to send that their way.
Absolutely. Two ways you can do it. You can either email me at tony@getyourleanon.com, or you can go to getyourleanon.com and hit me up with an inquiry. So just hit any one of the boxes, whether it's, you know, for nutrition coaching or personal training, and then just write me an inquiry. And it'll come right to my email inbox.
Fantastic. So would you like me to read the question, or do you want to talk about the topic first?
Yeah, no, I would like you to read the question because I want to gently go into this so everybody stays happy, but there's relevant information that I'm going to give that can actually help people out here.
All right. So here's the question. It says, hello, Coach. I was a vegetarian about 2 years back. I made this choice because I didn't want to support CAFO meat, CAFO meat, which is still true today, she says, and because I believed it was a healthier lifestyle option. About a year into it, I started to feel unwell. I was tired. My exercise, tolerance, and recovery declined. I developed gut issues, and I began to struggle with slight depression, something that was completely unfamiliar to me. I figured that I might have been feeling that way because I wasn't being strict enough with my diet. So I went from being a vegetarian to being a vegan. I kept this up for about 9 months, and then the bottom really dropped out. Everything I mentioned here got worse, and I developed new symptoms, most of which I never experienced previously. This time, I got the message. Although I still believed that vegetarian and vegan diets were a healthier choice, I knew that they were worsening my health. So I stopped and am now trying to figure out why an exclusively plant-based approach didn't work for me. What are your views? Thank you for your help and support. Kathleen C.
Before I get into this, I just want to state that outside of traditional diets, okay, the traditional diet plans, like the, you know, commercial diet plans that we see, there's a whole host of different diets out there that become doctrine to people, like the paleo diet, ketogenic diet, carnivore diet, vegetarian and vegan diets. These things that people adapt go much further than they're just being healthier. It could be a social deal. You know, it could be a spiritual deal. There's heavy things attached to this that keep these doctrines or this almost like religious view of their diet or eating program, you know, very, very close to their heart, which is fine. So before I get into this, I just want to clear the air and say, first and foremost, I want to make sure all of the listeners that are listening to this show today understand that I respect and appreciate anybody who makes an ethical choice and thinks deeply about the way they eat, either socially or spiritually, and how that eating diet impacts their life. That's their choice. Even if it's not my personal choice, it's their choice, and I completely respect that. However, I'm solely here, like every other show, to bring true information based on science about the impact of the food choices and diets that we choose in relationship to our body, our metabolism, and our overall health and well-being, flat out. So choose whatever you want. I'm going to bring you the evidence. I'm going to help clear up some misconceptions, and then you can choose from there how you want to approach whatever diet you want to do. Make sense?
It does make sense.
So the short version of what Kathleen is experiencing, simply put, is nutrient deficiencies, okay? That's a big thing. Now, there are several essential nutrients that vegans and vegetarians are deficient in that omnivores aren't, including very important vitamin B12, calcium, zinc, iron, choline, and omega-3 fatty acids, DHA and EPA. Now, because animal foods are almost the most bioavailable sources of these key nutrients that we'll discuss here, the human body requires these key nutrients for optimal function, especially vitamin B12. So we'll get into cobalamin, which is commonly known as vitamin B12 to everybody else, is a water-soluble vitamin that is involved in metabolism of every single cell in the body. And the cofactor to DNA synthesis, along with fatty acid and amino acid metabolism. However, this doesn't mean that you shouldn't eat a plant-based food diet. I mean, that's not what I'm telling you. Plant-based foods are rich in other nutrients found that aren't found in animal products, okay? Like polyphenols, flavonoids, carotenoids, and fiber. Plant-based products don't come with fiber, carotenoids. They don't have polyphenols or flavonoids, which plant-based foods do. But what this does mean is that people who are eating a plant-based diet solely will not meet essential nutrient needs, flat out, okay? So many choose vegan and vegetarian diets based on the impression, outside of their social or maybe spiritual thoughts, that it's a healthier choice from a nutritional perspective. And that's just not the case. And I'm going to break that down when we come back so everybody understands what's actually going on.
Talking with Coach Tony, part of Get Your Lean On here on Focus Fox Valley. Taking a break. Be back with more in just a few moments on WHBY. Back now at 4:21 on your Monday afternoon. You're listening to Focus Fox Valley. It is time for us to get our lean on. Once again, Coach Tony is here, and we're answering a email that Tony had gotten a week or so ago, and talking about vegetarian and vegan diets.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good choice on tunes.
You like that
I
one?
Think Fleetwood Mac just played like this last weekend in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I love Fleetwood Mac.
I've never seen him. I would love to, but unfortunately, I never got that chance. So very, very interesting question that came in. Kathleen was a vegetarian, wasn't feeling well after about a year, went diverted to being a full-fledged vegan because she felt like maybe she wasn't clean enough on her diet, got worse, got a lot of other symptoms other than the ones that she proceeded to have doing a vegetarian diet, and couldn't understand why. And I'm clearing up that why, and the why is basically is nutrient deficiencies and what some of those are, so people understand if they want to dive into a different regimen of eating that they need to do their case studies, they need to understand what they're getting into, and they need to be able to supplement properly if it's going to be deficient in any manner at all. So we got through some of the gist of now. For the last 50 or so years, we've been told that meat, eggs, and animal fats are bad, and we'll live longer and feel better if we minimize them or avoid them in our diet. Now, this idea has been thoroughly drilled in our heads, and few people even ask the validity of that anymore. They just think, yeah, this is real. In fact, if you ask the average person, I would think, would they think a vegetarian or vegan diet is healthier than an omnivore diet or a meat-eating diet? Most people would probably say yes. I would think a lot of people would. However, vegetarians and particularly vegans are almost completely devoid in certain nutrients that are crucial, and I'm going to say this again, crucial for our biological functions. Now, deficiencies, eating these kinds of diets can take months and even years to develop. And many of them are like overlooked or misdiagnosed just simply because we're not routinely tested in primary care settings for these types of things unless we ask for them. Several studies have shown that both vegetarians and vegans are prone to deficiencies in vitamin B12, calcium, zinc, iron, omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA, and fat-soluble vitamins, vitamin A and vitamin D. So I'm going to dive into these nutrients and kind of explain why vegans and vegetarians have a harder time getting these type of nutrients from their foods. And they can decide there what they want to do, if they want to supplement or not. I want to disclose, I will have a full document on this written out with all the case studies, all the PubMed studies, so you know that I'm not just spewing my views. I'm actually telling you true science here, so it's going to benefit you if you're a vegan or a vegetarian or want to steer that way if you listen to what I have to say here. So we're going to dive into vitamin B12. Vitamin B12 deficiencies are common in vegetarians and vegans. The most recent studies using the most sensitive testing techniques for detecting vitamin B12 deficiencies have found that, and this is staggering, that up to 77% of vegetarians and 92% of vegans are deficient in vitamin B12 compared to only 11% in their meat-eating counterparts. Now, vitamin B12 works together with folate in order to synthesize DNA and red blood cells. It also is involved in the transmission of nerve impulses, so it's super important. It's especially important in cognitive function. So vitamin B12 deficiencies can cause numerous unwell or ill symptoms, including fatigue, lethargia, weakness, memory loss, neurological and psychiatric issues, and anemia. That's just to name a few. It's a common myth among vegetarians and vegans that it's possible to get vitamin B12 from plant sources like seaweed, fermented soy, spirulina, which is a fantastic supplement, and also a great protein source, and brewer's yeast. Now, to the untrained person, these plant-based foods appear to contain vitamin B12. However, they contain something different called B12 analogs, or called cobamides, that are actually block the intake and increase the need for true vitamin B12. So you can see right there that, you know, even though we think we're taking in vitamin B12, we're actually hurting ourselves. And vitamin B12, if you're vegetarian, should be supplemented. And I think most people should be on a vitamin B12 supplement anyway.
I am.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just for cognition alone, it's great for your brain. The next one is calcium. So we know that calcium is important for bone health, but it's also essential for muscle and nerve functions, and it's involved in blood clotting as well. Now, on paper, calcium intake in vegan or vegetarians is similar to omnivores, but because they And the reason why that is because they both probably eat dairy products. However, in vegans, they're majorly deficient in calcium. Calcium, the bioavailability of calcium from plant foods is affected by the level of oxalate and phytate, which is an inhibitor to calcium absorption and thus decreases the amount of calcium the body can extract from plant foods. It's different, okay? So what this means is while leafy greens like spinach and kale, which I love and I love to add to my meats and stuff like that, have relatively high calcium contents, the calcium isn't efficiently absorbed during the digestion process of plant-based diets alone. They need other additive nutrients as cofactors. One study suggests that it takes 16 servings of spinach to get the same amount of absorbable calcium as an 8-ounce glass of milk. Pretty shocking, right? And that would be 33 cups of baby spinach or 5 to 6 cups of cooked spinach. Now, this suggests trying to meet your daily calcium needs from a plant-based perspective alone might not be the best strategy to go with, okay? So for those of you who can't tolerate dairy well, a great source, and this probably wouldn't pertain to vegetarians and vegans, is edible bones in fish like sardines, which are one of my favorite foods. It supplies it's a great source of calcium, phenomenal source. So now we're going to dive into iron. Vegetarians and omnivores often have similar serum levels of iron. However, the level of ferritin, the long-term storage form of iron, are lower in vegetarians and vegans than omnivores. This is significant because ferritin depletion is the first stage of iron deficiency. So we'll go a little bit deeper into this iron deficiency when we come back, and I'll give you some particulars on why and the difference between hem iron and non-hem iron.
All right, we're talking with Coach Tony, who is helping us to get our lean on this afternoon, taking a break here for local and CBS News updates. Be back in just a few moments on WHBY. And we're back, 4:35 on your Monday afternoon. Coach Tony here, helping to get our lean on. I'm Haley Tenpass, and we're answering one of your questions, listeners. Kathleen had wrote in and asked a question in regards to a vegetarian and vegan diet and how she was feeling. And Coach Tony here is letting us know what the research is saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
In regards to the topic.
You know, it's a great topic, you know, and it deserves a whole show because, again, I respect anybody's choices on whatever eating regimen they want, whether they go paleo or ketogenic or, you know, vegetarian or vegan, whatever style of eating they want, just know that if you're going to approach diets, you need to be smart about them and you need to do your research on them and you need to understand exactly what you're getting into and if they're going to supply you with everything biologically you need or if you're going to end up short and then you can replace those supplementally. And then he can feel really well, other than like Kathleen, who didn't feel well. And maybe if she's listening to the show tonight, I hope she is, that she'll be able to try and go back because of, you know, it was more of just because I want to feel good. It was more of a I want to do good as well, you know, for the environment, which is awesome. This will help push her in the right direction, which maybe she won't feel unwell. Maybe it'll really heighten her energy level and you know, she'll feel a lot better and she'll be a lot healthier.
And, you know, as someone who is not vegetarian or vegan, I'm getting ideas of ways to also get, you know, these vitamins into my diet without maybe having meat one day. Maybe yeah. I decide to do a meatless Monday for some reason, you know, and I'm getting ideas on what I can do to make sure I'm not, you know, having deficiencies.
Absolutely. You know, if you do, you know, if you're not feeling well, And I posted this on Facebook, you know, look, you know, I just to get off track a little bit, I lost 4 friends in the last 3 months to things that were completely preventable. And it scares me because I'm approaching 60. I'm 3 years from 60. They were all, you know, 60 or below, and some of them were under 50. Two of them were under 50, and I'm like, you know, just if you're feeling bad, you know, if you're not feeling well, just go to your practitioner, get checked out. Get checked out, get your blood work done. Get checked out for deficiencies. If you change your diet, you're not feeling well, go get checked out for deficiencies and find out why. And then just fix it. You know, you can fix it. It's not something that's like rocket science. So this was a great question. I'm glad it came in because, again, some of these diets are like doctrine. They're like religion to people, and that's great. I advocate go for whatever makes you feel right, but know what you're getting into and know that if you're not feeling well, there's fixes you can do on your own that will help you. So we got it. We went through the vitamin B12, which is totally essential. Vegetarian vegans just don't get vitamin B12 out of plant-based products. Now we're into iron. We went through calcium as well. We're into iron now. Vegetarians and omnivores, again, often have similar serum levels of iron, okay? However, the level of ferritin, which is the long term storage form of iron, is lower in vegetarians and vegans than they are in their meat eating counterparts, are omnivores. Now, this is significant because ferritin depletion is the first stage to iron deficiency. So, although vegetarians often have similar iron intake to omnivores on paper, again, it's much more common for vegetarians and particularly vegans to be iron deficient. For example, a particular study done with 75 vegan women in Germany found that 40% of them were iron deficient, despite the fact that their average iron intake was well above the recommended daily allowance. Now, among Australian men, they did this same testing, and iron deficiencies in vegetarians and vegans were 29 to 49% higher than omnivores. But their serum levels, again, the concentrations were barely half of omnivores. So even though they were deficient, their serum levels of ferritin, which is their long-acting storage, was barely half. So additionally, another study published just this last year showed that vegans and vegetarians have low ferritin levels. So why is this? As within calcium, as we talked about before, the bioavailability of iron in plant foods, non-hem iron, those are non-hem iron foods, meaning the bioavailability of the iron in the food is not absorbed very well in the human body, is much lower than in animal foods, which are hem iron, meaning the uptake of iron in plant-based diets is much less efficient and much less absorbable than in omnivore diets, flat out. That's just what the science says, okay? I'm not making this up. I'll have this full report out to you. So additionally, plant-based forms of iron are also inhibited by commonly consumed substances such as coffee, tea, supplemental fiber, and supplemental calcium. This explains why vegetarians and vegan diets have been shown to have an 85% lower total iron absorption rate than their meat-eating counterparts, flat out. So being iron deficient means you're probably pretty sluggish and tired. So again, going into now zinc. Zinc is important for the immune system, cell growth, and wound healing. You wouldn't usually see noticeable zinc deficiencies in Western vegetarians, but their intake often falls well below the recommendations, probably because red meat, poultry, and fish are the best sources of absorbable zinc for the body, flat out. This is another case where the bioavailability, meaning the absorbability of the nutrient, is important. Many plant foods that contain zinc also contain phytate, which is an inhibitor of zinc absorption. So vegetarian diets tend to reduce zinc absorption by up to 35% compared to their omnivore diet eating counterparts, even when the diet meets or exceeds the RDA of zinc intake. Very interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Now, a very, very big meta-analysis was done of 34 studies found that both zinc intake and serum zinc concentration were lower in vegetarians than non-vegetarians, suggesting that vegetarians may require up to 50% more zinc than omnivores due to their low absorption. This is all equating to, look, you can do these types of diets and whatever you feel, that's great. But know that if you're going to be deficient and you should get tested for it, you need to supplement wisely. It's so critical to be healthy. You're doing this for health reasons and other reasons, then make sure you're doing it for the right reason. Make sense?
It does make sense. We're talking with Coach Tony here. A question sent to Tony, and we're talking all about the vegetarian and vegan diets and maybe ways to make sure your nutrition and nutrients are up to par.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break here. Be back, though, with more of Get Your Lean on part of Focus Fox Valley on WHBY. We're back at 4:47 on your Monday afternoon here with Coach Tony, getting our lean on and answering your questions sent in by our listener, Kathleen. Coach Tony, you want me to read this one again?
Yeah. You know, Haley, it's really cool because I think this is the first show since we did the thing down at Mark's East Side where we did all questions that we've had a question come in that was like this relevant that just took a whole show.
Whole show, yeah.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, I really think that the listeners should hear the question again so I can get back into this.
All right, so here's our question from Kathleen. It says, hello, Coach. I was a vegetarian about 2 years back. I made this choice because I didn't want to support CAFO, CAFO meat, which is still true today, and because I believed it was a healthier lifestyle option. About a year into it, I started to feel unwell. I was tired. My exercise tolerance and recovery declined. I developed gut issues, and I began to struggle with slight depression, something that was completely unfamiliar to me. I figured that I might have been feeling that way because I wasn't being strict enough with my diet. So I went from being a vegetarian to being a vegan. I kept this up for about 9 months, and then the bottom really dropped out. Everything I mentioned here got worse, and I developed new symptoms, most of which I'd never experienced previously. This time I got the message. Although I still believed that vegetarian and vegan diets were a healthier choice, I knew that they were worsening my health. So I stopped and am now trying to figure out why an exclusively plant-based approach didn't work for me. What are your views? Thank you for your help and support, Kathleen C.
Such a phenomenal question and so detailed. Like she like took it back. Hey, I knew exactly what was going on. You know, I started this 2 years ago. I was in it a year. I felt unwell, completely unwell, and thought, you know what? I'm just not. And it's almost like, you know, somebody exercising. Oh, I'm just not exercising hard enough. I'm not being strict enough with my diet. So I'm going to divert into a full-fledged vegan diet and really stricken out and got worse. And she was like, well, I'm beside myself. What's actually going on? And the short end of the story is deficiencies. And it comes down to deficiencies. And we've already been through some of these deficiencies like vitamin B12, calcium, iron, and zinc. And now we're going into omega-3 fatty acids or essential fatty acids, which are hugely important. And I talk about these very often on this show, Ellie, you know that because, you know, by design, because of the industrialized food system that we live in, even if you're trying to go healthier, we are like so low in omega-3s and so high in omega-6s, it's creating systemic inflammation. But we'll get into how relevant this is to a vegetarian and vegan diet now. So plant foods contain linolenic acid, which is omega-6 fatty acids, and alpha-linolenic acid, which is ALA or omega-3 fatty acids. Now, these are both considered essential fatty acids, meaning your body cannot synthesize them internally, so you have to obtain them through your diet, okay? However, an increasing body of research has highlighted the benefit of long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, EHA and DPA. I mean, we know the benefits. There's a host of benefits, not only for heart health and brain health and joint health, but also if you got the right ratio, you are going to, because it's very anti-inflammatory, it's going to pull systemic inflammation out of your body. We know systemic inflammation is the gateway to all metabolic and chronic issues. We already know that. So it's very important for our listeners to understand this. Now, these fatty acids play a protective and therapeutic role in a wide range of diseases, including cancer, in asthma, and depression, and Alzheimer's, and cardiovascular disease, ADHD, autoimmune disorders like rheumatoid arthritis. These are all inflammatory issues, okay? So while it's possible to get omega-3 fatty acids from plant foods, it comes in the form of ALA. And this is where vegetarians and vegans go wrong. ALA, or alpha-linolenic acid, needs to be converted to the long-chain triglycerides, EPA and DHA, inside the body, okay? It has to take those short chains and turn them into long-chain fatty acids. However, the conversion rate is extremely poor in humans. So between only 5 and 10% of EPA and 2 to 5% of DHA are respectively converted through ALA, okay? So I always say if you want good omega-3 fatty acids or you want EPA and DHA, let the cow eat the grass. That's ALA. The cow converts the grass ALA into EPA and DHA. You eat the cow. You get the benefit. Understand?
It's a good visual.
Right? So in theory, what this means is vegans and vegetarians would need to consume between 5 and 12.5 grams of ALA just to obtain 250 milligrams of DHA. That's a very, very bad conversion rate. In reality, vegetarians and vegans consume less than 1 gram of ALA per day, which is extremely, extremely low. I'm an advocate on omega-3 fatty acids, and I have my clients do between 3 and 5,000 milligrams or 3 to 5 grams of straight DHA and EPA, so you can see how 1 gram of ALA and the conversion rate would turn into minuscule. Matter of fact, what this tells us is that vegetarian and vegans have 50% lower intake of EPA and DHA than omnivores. What's more interesting, the conversion of ALA to DHA depends on zinc, iron, and selenium, okay, which vegetarians and vegans are less likely than omnivores to get enough of. So eating 12 to 16 ounces of cold water fish per week remains the best way to get the adequate amounts of EPA and DHA. The fish also provide the bioavailable complete protein and selenium as well, which are super important. Now, if you want more information on this important omega-3 fatty acids I just discussed in your diet, go to my website, getyourleanon.com, and search for the article I wrote called What's the Hook on Fish Oil, where I'll lay out recommendations, the types to look for, what to look for, and amounts you need according to your body weight, which is hugely important. Very, very important. You know what? If there's one supplement that everybody in the Western culture needs to be on, it's an omega-3 fatty acid,
really?
Hands down. Hands down. Anybody that works with me, they can argue other supplements, you know, and it's fine. I'm not a big supplement guy. You know that of me. Unless you're deficient in something, don't do it. Eat right. But one of the things we have to do because of the offset of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acid ratios being 16 to 20 or 1, we have to be on an omega-3 supplement, hands down. We can't eat our way out of it.
We've got about 2 minutes to go here, Tony. Are you able to maybe, you know, summarize what we've got and what we've talked about
today? I will summarize. I just want to reiterate that, you know, there's two more things, the fat-soluble vitamins, vitamin D and vitamin A, which are very, very are deficient in when we are eating just plant-based foods. But I'm going to sum this all up, and you can get the full documentary if you go to my website. I'll have it up there in the next week or two with all the sources, so you don't think that I'm just making this stuff up. This is true science, and I'm just trying to help you out. So if you want to eat this way, go for it, but make sure you're supplementing wisely. So again, I want to reiterate that I completely respect and appreciate everybody who makes the ethical choice and thinks deeply about how they want to feed their body. I'm completely happy with that. However, weighing the evidence, if you choose to go strictly plant-based, a plant-based diet, for whatever reason, please do your research and make sure that you're supplementing wisely. Flat out. That's it.
Yeah. Some great information today. And I do hope that if people want to look into this further, they can head to your website.
Head to my website. You know, and if not for that, even if you're just feeling unwell, go to my website, getyourleanon.com. If you're looking for nutrition coaching or you're looking for personal training, I do them both. Hit me up with an inquiry if you got a question or you want to know more about my services. Love to have you.
All right. Coach Tony, thank you again for spending an afternoon with us and helping us to get our lean on. Always appreciate having you here.
Thank you so much.
Say you had the greatest job in the world, which everyone knows is crafting pumpkin fresh frozen custard desserts at Culver's. Here would be your typical day. Pour farm fresh dairy into the custard maker and run continuously all day. Add real pumpkin puree and pumpkin pie spice, then craft our pumpkin spice shake or salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer. Yum! Serve with a great big pumpkin lovin' smile.
Just like that, pumpkin's back at Culver's, but not for long. Welcome to Delicious.